WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Bill and Wendy at 10 o'clock. The Steve Cochran Show continues, and the 30th Annual Christmas Carol performs at the Goodman through December 27th. You want in for a backstage tour, four tickets to the December 11th show, and dinner at Howell and Hood's. Go to WGNradio.com/contest to win. My friend Rick Pearson joins me, finest political writer in America, your Chicago Tribune, ChicagoTribune.com, GNTV, and of course, Sunday mornings. The Sunday spin is your best way to start your politics Sunday morning, and we've got the numbers to prove it. At Rap30 on social media, by the way. Rick, I mentioned that this morning's Tribune is a great summation of the craziness that went down yesterday and how really none of the questions were answered by removing Gary McCarthy.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, it's very obvious that this was a preservation move by the mayor that as much as he talked about trying to look for a new way to reinstill trust in the police department, you still have the fundamental question about reinstilling trust in the mayor's office on the fifth floor of City Hall.
And Tony Preckwinkle, the Cook County president, was on, Cook County Board president, was on this morning. And she, of course, is asking for Anita Alvarez to resign as well, but she thinks the mayor should stay in place. You know, again, all these come down to two words: what now? Okay, Gary right. McCarthy's gone. What now? Anita Alvarez is gone. What now? The feds are investigating. What now? I mean, we've got no answers to the core questions we've identified here.
No, that's exactly right. And you know, this goes from the very day of the release of the tapes a week ago, is a lot of questions and no answers. And now we, you know, after the mayor had, you know, pledged his, he had Gary McCarthy's back, he's gone. The next political step, truly, I think, is going to be the March 15th Democratic primary for state's attorney. And Anita Alvarez is playing defense very heavily. She argues that the involvement of the feds in the investigation of the shooting, she argues that to do due diligence, the average investigation of a police-involved shooting takes over 250 days. We're still talking about 400 days. We're talking about a video everybody's seen. The questions just pile up about, you know, what took so long and what was behind it, especially when you have the fact, two facts. One, you have the settlement of $5 million paid to Laquan McDonald's family members. That settlement came, you know, a week after Rahm Emanuel's re-election. Rahm Emanuel maintains he never saw the video until it was released just a week ago. You know, what's the basis for that kind of a settlement? And it only further adds to the fuel to the fire of the questions about how much of this was politically motivated.
Well, and there's only two arguments that the mayor can make, and that is that he either is complicit in lying or he's incompetent. Because the lying part would be you did see the video and you claim you didn't. The incompetent part is you paid $5 million without seeing the video. I mean, it's a ridiculous point for him to try to make, because I know he said that he was instructed by the city's legal counsel not to look at it. I don't know about you. You know this mayor better than I do. When I see this mayor and how he's buttoned up and micromanaging this city, he's going to agree to a $5 million payout without looking at the video? I don't think so.
See, that's the fundamental question. I mean, $5 million, you have the city legal department driving the bus at the city council? I don't think so.
And the city, the full council has to approve that too, right, Rick? And not one person at that point, not one councilman or alderman, I should say.
That's bizarre, too.
Yeah, let's see the dash cam video.
No, that's a great point. Why didn't one alderman come forward and go, I'm really, really uncomfortable with this?
Well, right. And when you have the legal department, if they really did drive the bus, what is the evidence in hand? I mean, what is the evidence that drives this $5 million payout? Well, the evidence is the video. And so how can you say, you know, we don't know what's on the video. And frankly, you saw that the Black Caucus in the city council said, we were misled. We were told this, we were told that. Well, why didn't you ask to see it?
Good point. Hey, Rick, why do you think Lisa Madigan now is getting involved and saying, asking the Justice Department to look into it now? I mean, we already have a federal investigation. We have Anita Alvarez's investigation, and now Lisa Madigan's kind of jumping into the fray, asking Loretta Lynch to take a look at this.
Well, and frankly, I think that's a very serious move when you have, you know, the state's attorney general raise the issue with the U.S. attorney general to ask for that involvement. Frankly, you know, here again, everybody, I think, is looking to try to find some way for cover, that here is a way, take it out of the city, take it out of the Chicago politics. Let's bring in the feds. And frankly, the feds have been very involved, you know, all over the country in a lot of these police-involved shootings. Somehow Chicago has kind of escaped that, but now here is a way to, let's try to get an independent voice in here. But it also shows just how institutionalized the police department is, and how, you know, people really are looking for somebody to be independent to look into this. And you know, you have these calls for an independent prosecutor to do a review. That may be the safest way to kind of create the distance that you need in a system that truly is so institutionalized.
The mayor is a very smart man. He certainly is smart enough to realize the appearance of yesterday's disastrous press conference. What are you hearing out of City Hall, if anything, about this?
Well, but the one thing you have to remember, he's got 3.5 years left in office.
Right.
He also knows that, frankly, politics is short attention span theater.
But is that what you're hearing they're counting on, the administration?
Well, I can't say, you know, what the Hall is saying is we're doing all the right things, which is what you expect them to say. But the bottom line is, yeah, there is distance in the politics. There's distance for, I mean, frankly, it's the same way that they approved the record property tax increase. There's distance in politics. But, you know, truly, as I point to, the real next political head to be measured is going to be Anita Alvarez, and she has no intention of resigning, even though the calls are coming far and wide for her to step down.
The mayor, if Anita Alvarez steps aside, would then have it all on his desk, literally all on his desk, everything related to this, and still a pile of unanswered questions. Is this thing so out of hand at this point, it's like we'll jump off that bridge when we come to it?
You know what, I think truly, even though I talk about short attention span theater and the fact that the mayor knows this and, you know, we'll move on to whatever comes next, even despite that, the questions are still going to multiply. And as I said, you know, he talks about getting rid of Gary McCarthy to restore credibility to the police department. But his number one job right now is he has restored credibility to himself. And that's a tough hurdle. But he has time, I think, in his mind to try and do that.
Well, that was one of the things that really stuck out about the press conference yesterday, is because when Gary McCarthy was on the show with us yesterday, and I asked him, does the mayor have your back? And he said, well, he did as of yesterday. And then he got And then he got fired an hour later. The mayor spent about 10 minutes lauding Gary McCarthy's accomplishments and said, this isn't about him. It's about the trust of the police department and the trust that's needed. And then proceeded to say, very short time later, McCarthy became a distraction. Well, the distraction hasn't dimmed from yesterday. Gary McCarthy's home. He's figuring out what he's going to do next. He's going to be fine. What's the mayor going to do? When is he going to answer any of those questions? And by the way, a task force? Are you kidding me?
Well, there's your classic playbook for how whenever there's a major issue, you appoint a task force. And that, I mean, that's just political playbook rule 101. But no, that's I think you're going to see that he is going to have to spend an awful lot of time trying to rebuild an awful lot of bridges here. And I don't know if he can do it or not. That's we'll learn what kind of a real politician slash leader Rahm Emanuel is. But you talk about credibility. it all the credibility rests on the floor of City Hall.
It's and all of this could not be happening at a worse time, with a possibility of a school strike again, an economic crisis, and no state budget. This is not the time for a scandal. Nobody asked a question, unless you heard it. I did not. Nobody asked a question yesterday, just in regards, not even an accusatory question. Just to ask the mayor, at any point did you talk to Anita Alvarez about the timeline of her investigation or her potential indictment? Nobody brought that up.
No, and frankly, though, I would expect that he did not ask that question, just to avoid any kind of appearance of impropriety. But at the same time, as I go back to, you know, how do you move forward with that payment just based on the law department saying we got to do this, and the fact that the City Hall tried to keep that video, you know, from the public for over a year, you know, that goes to the heart of the issue about the credibility here. And you're absolutely right. Talk about the worst time in the world. You know, Chicago needs Springfield an awful lot for help with the city budget, help with the Chicago Public Schools budget. And frankly, knowing Springfield, it's these kinds of things that give rise to the excuses for particularly downstate lawmakers to say, I'm not going to help the city. What does that do me? Look at the mess that they have up there.
How about that? And you're absolutely right. How about that? How about Springfield politicians looking at Chicago going, wow, those guys are screwed up.
Yeah, exactly. Particularly after yesterday's meeting, yes.
And I want to ask about that quickly, too. But before, one last point on this. We've heard over and over and over again that part of the reason the delay was on is because releasing of the video would impede the investigation. We live in a world where everything becomes visible at some point. I mean, 20 years ago, we all saw Rodney King beaten up on grainy video of those days. The idea that the video impedes the investigation is exactly the opposite of the truth. The video brings truth to the investigation and gives you an indication of who may or may not be lying.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And frankly, you know, when you look at the video, is public record. It's public information. It's the public's right to be able to see this. And so here again, the fact that it took so long for and a court order to release the video, that naturally increases all the skepticism. But Illinois, when it comes to releasing the public records, is very poor. And yes, it's our right to see that video. And frankly, it's all right to see that video even more, given the fact that it's $5 million of taxpayer money that paid for that settlement.
And the gentleman who was shot a week before, you had the attorney on yesterday, Andre?
Yeah, we did. We had his attorney on yesterday.
Ronald Johnson?
Ronald Johnson, yeah. Michael Oppenheimer was on with us yesterday talking about
it. Michael was on with Roe, too, I think, yesterday afternoon.
Asking, and that family wants the dash cam video released.
They want the dash cam video released, and I'm sure they would like some sort of payoff as well. Where is that case going to go?
Well, now you have kind of the evidentiary precedent set with the release of the Laquan McDonald video, that, yeah, it is public record. It is something that, and you know, you've even seen these steps about, we're going to equip more CPD officers with body cams and all that kind of thing. Yeah, that's all part of, we're going to be more transparent. We hear about that, you know, transparency and accountability is their buzzwords in politics today. But, yeah, let's see the video.
You mentioned the meeting, and what an odd photo op. I don't know how many of you saw it yesterday, but it's Cullerton and was it Durkin, Cullerton, and the governor?
It was all four of the legislative leaders and the governor. It was a first hour of the meeting, actually first 38 minutes of the meeting were on camera. And it was just kind of a bad TV talk show of greatest hits of all the talking points that we've heard for the last 6 months.
Well, the weird thing is just from the still, like the screen grab of it, they looked like they were sitting at the kids' table at Thanksgiving.
And no food was being served.
Right.
That was part of, yeah. Yeah, we basically found out that this was the first time that the governor and the four leaders had sat together in a room since May, and nothing's changed. All the talking points reflected back to the things that everybody was talking about back in May. We have a budget that's kind of on autopilot. We have, when you come out of a meeting and the only progress, as John Cullerton, the Senate president, said, the only progress was we agreed to meet again. That's not a good sign. And truly, we're going to start seeing some major crashes in some of the safety net programs. Yes, 90% of state government is being funded, court orders, those kinds of things. But you still have a number of vital social safety net services that are hanging by a string. And frankly, there is no hope right now that they're going to be able to last into the new year.
Yeah, and you don't want to be a part of that 10% that's going to grow to 15% soon and beyond. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. You can read about it in your Chicago Tribune and online at chicagotribune.com. Rick will sleep when he's older. And follow him on Twitter and throughout social media at Rap30, R-A-P-3-0. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Steve.